So this is a time of our service where we get to look at God's Word, and I have a message, and it's a continuation of our Proverbs section that we have. Proverbs, as you know, is a book of wisdom, you know, words of wisdom, and observations that Solomon has made, and we can read the book of Solomon, and a lot of it makes sense, because the little scripture verses that are there, and there's a comparative to that which, you know, is good versus sometimes that which is, you know, I don't say so much the opposite, but that which is bad. And so when we look at those words, we can say, yeah, definitely that's good. That's good, or that's what I need to be able to do. But I will tell you, they're just words unless you have the Holy Spirit guiding you and understanding what's all there. So what we do, even now as we even started our service, and Marianne does that, we pray, we allow the Holy Spirit to move in us, which is God Himself, and to then we can really have service. It's not service unless God is with us and to be able to do stuff. So let me just begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into our message. Father, I do thank you for today. I thank you for this time that we have to study your word and to share the thoughts that go along with your word. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide these words, Lord, and bring them into our hearts, that they just aren't words, but they're things that you want anchored in our heart. And make that part of the base that is there for us to stand on when we're standing on Christ and his word. This we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. So the message that I have today is having wisdom. So we've been talking a lot about seeking wisdom calling out to us, kind of what wisdom can look like. But now it's about, you've got wisdom, what do you do with it? All right? So that's going to be the main idea behind the message that I have today. I'm going to talk one way to begin with in our message, and as I get partway through, then I'll make the transition and let you know where that transition goes and why I spoke the first way that I'm doing it. And then I'll change gears in looking at having wisdom and more like what God wants us to do. So we're going to start off right off the beginning with some scripture verses, and I have to click on this once, I think. Does that work now? Yeah, there we go. Proverbs 9, verse 12, very simply says, if you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. Well, we all like rewards, don't we? Sometimes we like really big rewards. And I'm thinking, the more wisdom I have, the more rewards I shall receive. So I want wisdom. I want wisdom for rewards, because then people can see that I have wisdom, obviously. But let's just look and see what those rewards are. Because wisdom is great. We think of wisdom, and there's people that we know that have great wisdom, and oh my gosh, I'm sure they've got great rewards. Let's go to the next verse. Proverbs 28:26. He who trusts in himself is a fool. Okay, I'm not going to trust myself because I could be a fool that way. But look what it says. But he who walks in wisdom is kept safe. Ah, this is nice. Not only am I going to be rewarded, but I'm going to be kept safe. And I'm thinking, safe from what? Well, safe from being caught by the law. Maybe safe from having to pay extra taxes, maybe safe from having cancer, maybe safe from, you know, something tragic happening in my life. Ah, I want wisdom. Yes, definitely I want wisdom for the fact that I am not only going to have rewards, but I'm going to be safe. You guys feel the same way about that wisdom and just wanting wisdom, because Scripture is saying that, right? Well, look. Let me just go on. Scripture shows the value of having wisdom. Think about this one here. We're going to go all the way back to Ecclesiastes, and this is the Solomon, and some of the King Solomon, who was again the wisest man on this earth outside of Jesus. He came in, and during this book here in 7:19 says, "Wisdom makes one wise man more powerful than 10 rulers in a city." Oh, yes. Imagine the power I could have with great wisdom. And the rewards that come from that, and how I would be protected, kept safe, if only I had that wisdom. Let me give you a couple examples of what that might look like. We go here in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 34, where Solomon has been given the great wisdom from God because he asked for that, to be able to manage, you know, the house of Israel in the way that God wants him to. So God gave him wisdom. He gave him lots of things. Wisdom was one of those great things. And look what happened with the wisdom that Solomon had. It says, "Men of all nations came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom." Huh. Wouldn't you like that? Notoriety? Is that how you say it? Notoriety? I can't say it right. I'm saying something wrong in that. Yeah. Got the emphasis on something wrong. That's typical how I do things, right? But you are recognized by the world as being the leader in wisdom. And people come to you to hear your wisdom. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what this world needs, is to have people that is full of this wisdom, just like Solomon that's there? Or maybe we can talk about Joseph and his wisdom, right? When he was made a slave by his brothers, by selling him, because they were angry with him. In fact, they hated him. But you know what God did for Joseph? Some very special things. It gave him wisdom as well. And what happened with that wisdom? So let's go look at Acts 7, 9 through 10. It says, "Because the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph," and the patriarchs end up being, you know, the leaders of the 10 tribes, of where the 10 tribes, or 12 tribes actually came from. That'd be Joseph's brothers. "Sold him as a slave into Egypt. But God was with him and rescued him from all of his troubles." Oh, again, think about that. Remember that you are kept safe from that wisdom that was mentioned in Proverbs. "He gave Joseph wisdom and enabled him to gain the goodwill of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So he made him ruler over Egypt and all of his place." Wow. So not only do we have power with wisdom, but we have position with wisdom. And put into that. Isn't wisdom great? Isn't that wisdom that's something you want to obtain right now? Because you have a future yet that could be molded into a place where you could be like King Solomon and everybody looks to you. Or you could be Joseph. You could be in this position of great power. And if somebody wanted something, they'd have to ask you for it first. Having wisdom seems to be pretty phenomenal stuff. Okay, I'm going to switch gears here. Because maybe some of you have figured out that I really wasn't preaching. Well, let me take this back. I have been preaching on wisdom of the world and not really wisdom of God. But when people talk about wisdom, that's their first thought, is that wisdom will give them greatness. Wisdom will give them things that they normally don't have. Whether that's power, whether that's recognition, whether that's, you know, just money to be able to do the things that you want, or time to do those things. Or Maybe you're not involved, you know. I always think about sometimes when there's a huge food scarcity or water scarcity and stuff like that. I'm going to say water scarcity, you know. Most people like would water their lawns in the summertime to get their lawns nice and green. Well, if you get caught watering your lawn, you know, it's a $500 fine. To you and me, that's a huge chunk of change. But if you were a billionaire, That's like $5. So what? So I get fined once a week. That's like $5 to me, but I have a nice, beautiful lawn, and they could care less about the people around them because they have that, you know, that money that's been, say, given to them. But it's like they're totally irrespectful of the people around them. Right? The water that they're using to water their lawn is restricting now people from getting water for drinking and for cooking because it's just a wasteful sense of it, but it, aesthetically, it looks really good. And we think sometimes that this wisdom is being able to have things that other people don't have so that we can be better off than them. And when troubles come, doesn't really matter because I'll be able to afford it. Well, that is not the wisdom that God is talking about. That's not the wisdom that we are talking about in the book of Proverbs. And you can see how if you don't have the Holy Spirit trying to understand Scripture, we look at Scripture from a worldly perspective and it doesn't work. And that's where a lot of people err. We get caught up in the world and we're not caught up in God. So let me give you the next scripture verse that we've got here. In Jeremiah 9:23-24, it says this. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom. Well, now this is just the opposite of what I was saying already, right? It's almost like the complete opposite. Or the strong man boast of his strength. Or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boast about this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. So if you are given wisdom by God, are you to use that wisdom for personal gain? According to Scripture? No. You're to use it to further the kingdom of God. End of story. That wisdom that's been given to you is not about you. It's about God working through you to do His will. So who now wants great wisdom? Maybe it's like, well, I'll let that next door neighbor person, the person sitting next to me, to get that wisdom because maybe they could do God's work better than I could possibly do it. Maybe when Solomon was given that great wisdom, there was great responsibility given to him. Maybe when Joseph was given that wisdom, even though he was made slave, there was great responsibility that was put upon him to do God's work. Because if we are to have the great wisdom, we aren't supposed to flaunt it. We're supposed to give praise to God so that we can do things, literally, for others. And I loved what Marianne was in her yard, what you were saying this morning about understanding a great lesson about encouragement. That we ourselves can encourage one another. And that is great wisdom. Let me give you another scripture verse. And I've told you this one before. I wish Pat was here because Pat knows what I'm talking about. Tom knows. Is that Gepi test. Because with great wisdom comes understanding of what it is that it is to have wisdom and the things that we do. So this is that Gepi test, and it's James 3:17-18. It says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Where in there does it talk about in Scripture about having wisdom? And what was the Scripture that we were looking at right in the very beginning? That we will be rewarded for having that. Well, the reward isn't about personal reward, that you're going to have a great big house, a bigger boat than everybody else, and, you know, five cars, you know, in your garage that holds 20, you know, whatever. That reward isn't about the things that you get, but it's about the things you're able to do through the power of God to other people. Encourage those that need encouragement. That's having wisdom. That's not only just having it, but using it the way God has intended you to do it. Sometimes it's giving them words of wisdom, smartness. What choices that you need to do. Sometimes it's just giving a listening ear and not saying anything. Sometimes it's words of wisdom is going to somebody's house at minus 37 degrees at 7 in the morning to get their furnace going. Because what you're doing is you're hearing the Word of God and there's a call, and you know what you do? You act on it. That's having wisdom. Yes, you may not be a king. Yes, you may not be, you know, have an article in the paper written about you. So what? It's not about me. It's about serving other people and having the wisdom that God has given you to do that and actually fix the problem. So you see, it doesn't matter that you don't need to have, a Harvard or Yale degree to be able to do God's work. You need to have a relationship with Him to be able to hear Him. And He'll grant you the things that you need in order to be able to do this GEPI test. Well, I'm not a very peaceful person. Well, that's maybe you need to get connected with God a little bit more. Well, I never have the right words of encouragement. Well, maybe you need to get God's wisdom to be able to have that. We've already talked about how you get the that wisdom from God. It's just having a relationship with Him. Knowing Him. And when you know God's character, that character starts to become part of you. And then you get to be able to express God and His love and His peace-giving stuff and His consideration and His wellness for other people. It's really kind of easy to do God's work because we just have to take ourselves out of the picture. But this world is just the opposite. You know, you deserve a break, like all those commercials they say. Or they say, just do it. Don't worry about what other people think. Don't worry about how it's going to affect those around you. Just do it. And this advertisement is always like that. We've been indoctrinated with that. But you know what we haven't been indoctrinated in this nation? It's God's Word. Because we put it off onto the sides, because what we're doing is thinking more about ourselves than we are thinking about God and His will. But if God created us, don't you think we should be doing His thing? Isn't that where we should be in terms of looking at this? I tell you, the little simple acts of picking up the phone and calling somebody is an act of wisdom. Because you know what that does? It's considerate. It produces fruit. That's the wisdom of God. And when we look at Scripture, we've got to be thinking about what is it that God wants, you know, out of me learning this sort of Scripture, and not just what I want to get out of it. I remember reading the Scripture for the very first time, all the way through the Bible, and I wanted to know what it was like, you know, what I had to do to be a good person. Guess what? I found that. I found that in Scripture, how to be a good person, how to be considerate and everything. Do you know what I missed? The whole gospel message. Because I wasn't looking at it. Jesus is the Son of God? I never read that in Scripture. I wasn't looking for it. I was looking for specific stuff. And now that once I found that out, it's like, wow! Scripture comes alive now. And all of a sudden there's more to it than just about me. And what I can do. And so I was looking at Scripture from a worldly perspective. I don't look at it that way anymore. I look at it in terms of what God is showing me that we can probably use that in our lives. Well, I want you to use this GEPI test, because if you're unsure of whether the act that you are doing is a wise act or not, ask yourself, is the thing that I want to do pure in the eyes of God, not humans? Is it peace-loving? Or am I doing something to get back at someone in hopes that they're going to pay a price like they made me pay a price? Is it peace-loving what you're going to do? Is it considerate when you're thinking of others before you think of yourself? Are you submissive? And I don't mean a doormat, right? What it means is very simply that it's not your will that you're putting forward, but you're thinking of others, and you're willing to step aside, get off your little high horse and your little podium, and allow someone to walk in front of you first, or to be able to get something first. I've got two students in school, seventh graders. They got to be the first at everything, you know. And it's like it's crazy, because I have them all seated down, and right, and we're going to go into the shop room, which is the room right next door, and. And I said, okay, we're going to go over there, and we're going to go look at, we're getting into dragster cars. That's a big thing for technology right now. And I've got a whole bunch of dragster cars laid out over there. I want you to go over there and stand by there. We're just going to look at them. And I said, go ahead. Two of them, right over there. So they got up out of their chairs. They had to be the first one there to see those dragster cars before anybody else. And they literally plowed through three people to get there. You know, and it's like, they have no clue. That they really were like, the kids looking at them were like, whoa, but they know them, you know, so they're like, oh, that's just them, and so they go through, and they're good-hearted people. It's just it just focuses, gotta be first, all the time. But, you know, it's like, for them, and I've talked to them, I said, just let other people go first. That's being submissive, in a way, you know, and so there's a long working process that goes with it. The things that you're doing, full of mercy, right? Even though somebody deserves retribution, are you holding back on that retribution? Because it really isn't going to do any good. Are you producing good fruit? And I'm talking about fruit that God would consider good fruit. And that, when we look at this, is that you are creating peace and you're loving one another. As I think Mary Ann said at the very end of her statement, is that we need to love one another. Very, very, very true in that. And all that. So this is what we call the GEPI test. And just mark it down in your Bible. Scribble it out, you know, circle it, whatever you have to do. It's okay to write in your Bible, as I do. And it's good to remember this. James 3, 17 to 18. And then look at James 3 again. This is before this part here, in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So, wisdom brings humility, because that's the only way that you can do it. True wisdom, not worldly wisdom, but God's wisdom. So you have wisdom, there has to be humbleness within you for that wisdom to be enacted the way it's supposed to be. But look at this, that your whole life is an example of the wisdom that God has been giving you. You are a witness to everyone around you of the wisdom you have from God. Now, didn't I say that there's great responsibility that comes with great wisdom? Guess what? We have great responsibility, because God has given us a gift, wisdom, that is beyond what we can do naturally. And there is great responsibility with that. We are to follow God's commands because we choose to, because we want to. Because we love the Lord, we love God, we will not do those things that show disrespect to Him. We will live a life that is worthy of being called a Christian. Again, not the perception of what the world thinks a Christian is, but the perception of God considering what a Christian is, which is the son or daughter of God the Father. Don't you, as a parent for those older people that have children, isn't it an honor that when your son or your daughter does some really blessed things, and it gives you great warm feelings in your heart and stuff. You know, they're growing up and they're holding up, making a life for themselves, and they're actually making really good choices, things that we taught them when they were young. How is that any different than God being pleased with us, the things that we do when we're taught by Him what to do? That our life is a reflection of the lessons that we've learned from God. Yes, some of them came from our parents. Some of them came from our Sunday school teacher. Some of them came from going to church. Some of them came from just strangers. But we're obedient to that. Right? And it's like, that's what we're really looking at, and being able to be wise in what we can do. Let's go to Colossians. And again, it goes along the line of having that wisdom, that there's things that we do with it. We don't just hang on to it for ourselves, but it's something that's to be shared. So in Colossians 3, 16 through 17 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with" what? Wisdom. So we are not an island. We are not all by ourselves. The wisdom that we have isn't just for us, but it's for us to be able to share with others. You know, God distributes the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, differently among us. Some of us are really great musicians, and we share. Some of us are just great prayer warriors, and we pray hard. Some of us are gifted mechanically. Some of us are gifted with speech, and some of us are gifted for various things. Scripture talks about that sort of thing. But you know what? We are one body under Christ. We are His church. Not these four walls, but us as people are His church. And the church, gathered together, goes out, right? And we teach and we admonish other people in the love that God has given us. And it's pretty amazing. I mean, wisdom is great. But look at what it says. Admonish one another with all wisdom. Not just partial stuff and not just what you want to give, but share all that. As you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And again, it goes back to our scripture verse that Jeremiah spoke about. Don't boast about the wisdom that you have, right? Boast about the wisdom that you have so that God can be praised, not you. And so, I love this message because, you know, we've been talking about wisdom and everything, and it's great to have it. And we have obtained wisdom. There's more that we can get, and because the greatest wisdom that you can possibly have is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is so, so important. In John 15, it talks about producing fruit. And he says, John 15:16 says, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends." There's that relationship, right? Where you have chosen Him as your Savior, and Jesus, being the Son of God, becomes our brother in Christ. "For everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Oh, isn't that the wisdom that we were just talking about? See, Christ exhibits that wisdom. So when we read Scripture, we can see the wisdom that He has and how He's shared that in those 3.5 years of ministry that He had with everybody around Him. Some people accepted it, many did not. But He did what His Father told Him to do. And He says, "You did not choose Me, but I chose you." Oh, I think that's pretty neat. That God looks down upon this earth Now, obviously, God knows everything, and He created us before we even, you know, knew who we were before we were even born. But He chose us to be part of that family. And how special that is, right? And He appointed us to go and bear fruit that will last. That's what we call good fruit. That's the things that we do for eternity. There's good things that we can do, and there's people out there that do good things that are non-Christians. But you know what? All those things just dissolve over time, and they're forgotten. But the things you do for the Lord within His will, those things last forever. And that's what He wants. He wants us to be able to be doing that as we carry through and look at this. So we take wisdom, right? And what does it do? Well, let's go back to Proverbs again. And we look at this, instead of from a worldly perspective, let's look at it from a God-centered perspective. Proverbs 19:11 says, "A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to the glory, to his glory, to overlook an offense." Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes people burn me the wrong way. And it's really hard to get over that. Because every time I see them, I think that person did that to me. And though they're pretty nice to me now, I'm not going to forget that. And I'm going to keep my little shield up, and I'm never, ever going to allow them to get past that shield. Unless I let little things come by, because I'm going to hold that grudge for them. But you know what? God gives us patience with those people. Think how I must look before God Almighty. Do I look perfect to Him? Am I in the best of my best all the time with Him? No. In fact, before I really, really knew Him, you know, I was probably like, you talk about these nice clean socks that Mary Ann was able to give this woman. I was probably the most dirty sock that you could present to Christ. And yet, He still chose me. He didn't want me to stay there as a dirty sock, right? He cleaned me. He removed the dirt and the smell and everything. And now I am a sock that's useful to Him. I put little spots in there too, dirty spots. But He still kind of works on me, right? But it's to His glory that we overlook offenses. Because He's overlooked our offenses. And we look at this last one over here. And this is the one I want to close up on in terms of wisdom. Proverbs 14:8 says this. Hold on to it. "The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways." Right? Prudence is, like I said before, it coincides with wisdom. But prudence is a thing that tells us that if I go down this path, this is probably what's going to happen. Or if I go down this path here, this is probably what's going to happen. And this one here disrupts a lot of people. This one here blesses a lot of people. So, I've got wisdom to choose. I'm going to choose the correct way. The one that blesses God and the people around that I'm going to do. That's prudence. We have choices all the time in what we're going to do. And how we can get angry with an individual that cut us off in the highway, right? And almost caused an accident. You're laying on the horn. You might be giving some hand gestures and you might be yelling and shouting things that, you know, they're not even looking at seeing or anything. But really, you know what? We need to act and act quickly in terms of giving thought to our ways in all that we do. Because we don't honor God when we come to church on Sunday. We honor God with our lives 24/7. That is our act of worship. And you all know that. And we do the best we can. And the more we can lean on God, we're going to find that it's less and less about my struggles, but it's more and more about God just working through me to be able to do stuff. That is the wisdom that we have from God. Because when our child, physical child, does something really bad, goes down that path, You know what the first thing is that you do? You go to God and you pray. Whether you're in the car, you can get down on your knees, get to a quiet place, get away, and just pour your heart out to God. He knows you. He knows your child. And we trust Him. So that song that we had, trust and obey, it's really there. That is wisdom at its best. And we have these songs, you know, that remind us of these sort of things. The wisdom that we have, let me read this again. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. Don't act irrational. Act with intention to do God's will. Now, there was a preacher that came in one time during one of the services here, and I really liked what he had to say. And he says, acts of kindness are not just haphazard. They're intentional. And I really, it kind of struck me on a chord. I really like that sort of thing. Our acts that we do with people are intentional. Intentional to honor God in all that we do. Going along with the Gepi test and what God wants us to do in the book of Jeremiah is to not boast about ourselves or things that we have, but boast about knowing the Lord and being able to serve Him. That's having wisdom. Does it make sense what I'm saying, and just in general? Okay, so think about that. Meditate on His words. Go back through, you know, your little half sheet of paper there and start looking at those scripture verses from a godly perspective, not from a world perspective like I started. And you go back through those beginning verses and see what God had in store for those individuals and how those people were to literally save nations because of the wisdom that God has given them. God can use us to help spread the gospel around so that others can be saved to know who God is and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And boy, wouldn't this be a great world if we all followed God's commands the way He intended us to do that. But we are part of it. And He's placed us here in this Harrisville area at this time, 2023, for this very reason. Sometimes we wonder what it is, but get in God's Word, and He'll reveal that to you. Amen? Lord, I do thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the time we have and for the concepts of Scripture and tying them together with Your love and what Your will is. Please help us to always keep God in the forefront. Bring us together, Lord, that we can love one another in the wisdom that You have given us. To teach, admonish, produce good fruit, show compassion, be peace-loving, to be Christ-like in all that we do. I thank You, and we pray all of this through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.